The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Best path for the Lakers. If they finish seventh and lose their first playing game to a very hot Steph Curry or Damian Lillard, like Hansel, they're so hot right now. They'll still play a game against, say, the Grizzlies or the Spurs, which they will not lose with LeBron and AD. Not to mention Schroeder, and you see the way THT can play, and Montrezl Harrell and KCP, and Kuzma's hit a big shot, and now they'll come through that game. And then they will take on the Suns in the first round, having just played a game or two postseason, with, if you rest AD now, arrested AD, and hopefully more fully recovered physically AD. Or you can play your guys, go at it hard now, make a probably ill-fated run at the sixth seed. But let's say you get the sixth seed. Now you go into a first-round series with the Clippers compromised. I don't like it. Round one could possibly be Utah, right? Round two would be Denver or Dallas. I like a spot. I'm a little worried about the Mavericks. They were my preseason dark horse. And notice they've been playing much better, you know, in the last third of the season, the first two thirds. And Porzingis is back. I'd rather see Denver there. I know Jokic has held it down without Jamal Murray, but they just don't match up well with the Lakers. And then the Western Conference Finals, this would be the Clippers or the Suns. By then, if the Lakers are healthy, I like them against either team. I just worry. You won't see the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. Never been there. I fear the Clippers in the first round. I'd like to see the Clippers in the second round because they never win in the second round, ever. Denver versus Portland and Lakers versus Pelicans tip off at the same time on Sunday. The sixth seed could be on the line if the Lakers beat the Pacers on Saturday. Listen. I want to tell you my Lakers propaganda here. Lakers fans, think about this for a second. And if you've heard this before, tough. It just dawned on me. And probably I've thought this before too, but not quite like this. Listen to me. If I said to you, we're playing Mount Rushmore, okay? Here's my Mount Rushmore. Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, Shaquille O'Neal and LeBron James. And I dared you to beat that Mount Rushmore with another team. Could you do it? Because understand, the four guys I just said are the guys who don't make the Lakers Mount Rushmore. The Lakers Mount Rushmore is Kobe and Magic and Kareem and Jerry West. Because Jerry West was one of the greatest players ever and the greatest executive ever. That's the Lakers' Mount Rushmore. So the dudes who don't make it are Wilt and LeBron and Shaq and Elgin Baylor. Now, what I'm saying is I'm going to take the leftovers, the four who didn't make the Lakers' Mount Rushmore, and challenge you to come at me with your team's actual Mount Rushmore. I don't think you'll win. Go ahead, Raj. I see you raising your hand.
Well, all right. I got just a couple, but you got to hear me. All right, so. What about if I had LeBron guarding LeBron? Okay, mm-hmm. I got another Rushmore. Mm-hmm. I had Shaquille guarding Shaquille. Mm-hmm. And then I added Alonzo Mourning and Dwayne Wade.
Here's the problem. The Shaquille you're Rushmore. Having guarding my Shaquille was old and finished. He's uh-huh. Shaquille in name only.
Okay. Okay.
No. I see what you're saying. No, Shaquille, he wasn't finished. He was still great, but he was not in his prime anymore when he won his championship in Miami. Okay. That's fair. Okay.
How about a young, fast, slim Shaquille O'Neal? Mm-hmm. You know, the 400-pound Shaquille O'Neal.
And Elfrid Payton, who else you got here?
Title. Yeah. No, listen, I got a young Shaq. Mm-hmm. I got Dwight Howard. You could either take Shaquille, and I can have a young Shaquille guard LeBron. And then I got T-Mac up on you. Uh-huh. And then give me the Muppet. Give me Penny Hardaway. What about the Orlando
Dude,
Magic?
They'll get slaughtered. Hold on. First of all, they'll get slaughtered. First of all, I have Shaquille O'Neal at his absolute best in L.A. when he was an unstoppable monster. Okay, then I got Wilt when he was past his prime, Wilt, but still great. Like led the league in assists, Wilt. Right, like won a championship, Wilt. He was still great. And then I got Then I got LeBron when he's still the best player in the game, winning a championship, and Elgin Baylor, who was like the original Michael Jordan. What are you talking about?
All right, last one, and I'll leave it to the fans. Last one. What about 100-point scoring Wilt in his prime?
Okay, Philly might be tough.
I'm talking about scoring 100 points. Philly, then I got 4-4-4. Moses Malone, come on, won two MVPs, slept on. Then give me Allen Iverson. Give me Allen Iverson in his prime throughout. I'm talking about practice Allen Iverson. And then throw on the fish that say Pittsburgh, Dr. J.
That's a really good one.
That one's tough.
That's a really good one. Not to mention Charles Barkley, and you got other guys too.
Dr. J and Moses Malone swept the Showtime Lakers once upon a time. People like to forget that.
I actually think you'd do better with the Warriors, because you could do Wilt from the Warriors with KD from the Warriors, Steph from the Warriors, and there's got to be someone else I'm not thinking of. But no, I think in the end, if I'm telling you, I got LeBron and Shaq and Wilt. Do you understand? LeBron and Shaq and Wilt are all a certain kind of animal. They're different physically. They have their own category. Like, here are the three unstoppable physical dudes who ever played the game. All on the Lakers. And Elgin Baylor, like, invented basketball, right? I'm not even going to, like, Mikan. Like, what's his name? Richard from Manhattan. Someone went to George Mikan. I'm not going to George Mikan. I'm not bringing up anyone like Anthony Davis or Pau Gasol or anyone like that. I'm going argument at different times by different people that this is the greatest player who ever lived, all four of them. Like, you have dudes from Elgin Baylor's era who tell you, like, that dude's the best player I ever saw. Shaquille O'Neal in his prime, you remember what that was. He was the MVP of the league. Like, and Kobe was in his prime, too, even though he's young. A lot of guys in their prime were like, no, you know, we can't play with Shaquille. Wilt, you've been telling me Raj, he's the greatest player ever. And LeBron James, those are the guys who didn't make the Mount Rushmore of the Lakers. It's gangster. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not saying we're going to win. I'm just saying we can make it a series.
Yeah, sure. You're not right. Other teams, the Celtics, you know, Bill Russell and Larry Bird, but other teams, Mount Rushmores, can compete and probably lose to the guys who couldn't even make the Lakers Mount Rushmore. That's what I'm saying, Lakers fans. Now go package that. Use it like a cudgel to bash all other fans and make them feel bad about themselves and their teams, because that's the point in debating sports. Jerry West is angry that he was left off of Jeannie Buss's top five list. This is what got me thinking of all this. Of the most important Lakers of all time, Hoop du Jour, with Peter Vesey, he said, quote, I saw the other day Jeannie Buss made a statement, the five most important Lakers. One of the most offensive things I've ever heard in my life. I was there a lot of times, had a lot of success. Be curious to know if they would have had that success if I hadn't been there. And I don't ever take credit for the stuff. I don't. When I was around, maybe I was just a good luck charm. But I do know that when this thing fell apart, there was a lot of years where they weren't very good. Now, I was there for this. Not when he went to Memphis. By the way, Jerry West went to Memphis just like that, like this. If you don't have ESPN Plus, I'm snapping into the microphone like this to indicate how fast it was, Raj. Just like that. Memphis was a perennial playoff team, right, with Powell as their best player. He goes back to the Lakers. They win championships and everything. Then he left for the Warriors. And do you know what I told everyone at the time? I was on radio in L.A. at the time. I said, get ready for the Battle of the Five Freeway. Because, you know, going up to San Fran. Because the Lakers had Kobe and Powell and Lamar and Bynum, and they had won a championship and two championships. And they were going for a three-peat. But once Jerry West goes up to Golden State, I'm like, just watch what happens at Golden State now. And if it's just a good luck charm, I don't know. I do know that the Battle of the Five Freeway never happened because the Lakers didn't hold up their end of the deal. The Warriors wound up with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, and then eventually Kevin Durant, put together one of the most dominating, you know, spans in the history of basketball. Jerry West. Then he went to the Clippers. Have the Clippers ever been as threatening as they are right now? Ever in their history? Been as threatening as they are right now? I agree with the logo on this. I agree with the logo. And by the way, he really has shown a lot of humility, at least publicly, with the way he frames his own role with the Lakers. But I understand why he'd be upset being left off by the owner of the Lakers, Jeannie Buss, a top five. Because she went to non-participants. She went to Phil Jackson, her ex, as one of the most important, five most important Lakers. But Phil didn't play for the Lakers. So once you open that can of worms, you got to say, well, what about Dr. Jerry Buss? He was the owner of the Lakers, responsible for the whole thing, right? What about Chick Hearn? What about Pat Riley? And if you're going to include coaching or executiving, what about Jerry West, who as a player belongs with the other with the all-time greats? As a player, go look up Jerry West's stats, by the way. You know what? I'm going to do that, Raj. I'm going to do it right now. Because nowadays, you could just write Jerry West stats, and you put up Basketball Reference. And I'm not going into advanced stats, and I know the era is different, but just for the kids out there who don't know about Jerry West, I'll just give you his point averages, okay? Just his averages for points. Starting in 1961-62, okay? 30.8, 27.1. I'm going to leave off the point. I'm just going to say, round it up or down. 31, 27, 29, 31, 31, 29, 26, 26, 31, 27, 26. It seems to me he's averaging like 31. A lot of 31s there. 31 points a game with assists. 6.8, 6.1, 6.9, 7.5, 9.5, 9.7. That's Jerry West as a player. He's giving you 31-8 as a player. And by the way, he was so gangster. He was in the finals all the time. They lost a lot to a better Celtics team. But he was so good. Jerry West won the MVP of the finals one year. His team lost. Yeah, he's got to be on any top five of the most important Lakers, of course. It's time for Breaking Moves with ESPN NFL analyst Keyshawn Johnson.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Keyshawn Johnson, co-host of Key J. Williams Zubin in the Morning, of course. Key, Lakers Mount Rushmore. Here's my thing now. Here's my new Lakers propaganda. Ready? I can barely hear you. Are you complaining about the way I intro'd you?
Yes.
Okay. All I heard was...
Co-host of KJZ. As well as...
Can't hear it.
As well as NFL Live, NFL Expert.
Key, you see, this would be good if we could hear you. Damn, Key, with all you're an NFL aficionado, former number one overall pick, NFL champion, can't afford good wireless. What's going on with you? Where are you? Can you hear me now?
You can't hear me?
Now I got you. Now you're clear. Now you're
that's you guys.
No, now you're going in and out again. See? Raj, is this
it's
you?
Not me.
What's that? It's not you?
It's not me. It wasn't me.
Now, no. Don't run that. You were either on a speakerphone, a car phone, or your AirPods were messing up, Key, because you just did something and it was crystal clear. Key, what's your beef right off the top? Can you repeat that, please?
No.
Again. All right, look, Raj, get Key's reception fixed up because I can't hear anything he's saying.
I don't know what he's saying. I don't know where he is, but the reception's bad. I don't know if he has a landline, but B called him on some bat phone or some BlackBerry, or I don't know what he did. But Brendan, if you could get him on a clear line, that'd be great. If not, we'll just continue with
look, this is terrible. I wanted to talk to him. Let me tell you, let me run down the topics I wanted to talk to Key about, Raj. Let me just run those down, okay? I wanted to ask him about Lakers Mount Rushmore. I wanted to talk to him about Brady or Belichick. Like, Key, like joking around aside, Key not only played in the league a long time, but he's a legitimate, really brilliant football guy. Like, he really knows it from X's and O's to the kind of, like, stuff that actually takes place from the point of view of someone with experience, but also has an ability to synthesize it really, really well. Tebow, in terms of, like, what that means for the team, I know he seems like, oh, Key's just anti-Tebow, but I want to get into really his thinking about it. And Julio Jones, you know, if he's out of this, on his way out of Atlanta, where would he like to see him play? You know? That's the issue. And I would love to. I'd love to.
Keyshawn called back. His phone has dropped twice, but he's blaming us in Keyshawn fashion. So we just we may have to just
go. Let's get to some callers. Let's get to some callers.
And there's an update in Lakerland, by the way, if you wanted to tell the dogs and poodles about this.
Well, Frank Vogel said LeBron James practiced today and is questionable for Saturday's game. Is that good or bad? I don't know. I would feel a lot better if he said he practiced today and he's playing on Saturday. He's questionable for Saturday. Anthony Davis did not practice, but is probable. Schroeder's cleared the health and safety protocols. He's available to play, did not participate in group practice, and Vogel was unsure if he'd play him. Let's get right into the Lakers stuff, Key.
Can you hear me now, Matt?
I got you now. I got you now loud and clear, Key. Key, let's get right into the Lakers stuff. What do you make of this? Vogel said LeBron practiced but is questionable for Saturday. AD didn't practice but is probable for Saturday. What do you make of this?
I make it that they're going to rest up as long as they can
and
continue to chip away at it, whether it's the play-in or the sixth seed. That's what I make of it. I'd rather have them for the playoffs than not have them.
Right. Right. Finally, someone's making sense. Key and I argue sometimes, but now you're making sense. In other words, Key, for me, the most important thing is that LeBron and AD are as healthy as possible for the playoffs. I don't care if you lose in the first round or the conference finals. You're trying to win a championship. So the point is to give yourself the best shot to do it. You ain't going to do it if AD's got a groin problem the whole time.
And that was my point on KJZ this morning, is talking about what Greeny was talking about when he said that the banner is more important than playing in a game, because that's what LeBron basically said. And I'm like, yes. Raising the banner is more important than playing against the Houston Rockets when we're probably going to beat them anyway and take a chance on re-injuring myself. And then what? Then the Max Kellermans of the world will argue with Stephen A. how stupid and dumb it was.
Right. Exactly right. How stupid and dumb. Key, you played for Bill Parcells, and so you must have an appreciation for what a great head coach means for an organization. And, you know, the greatest debate in sports in the 21st century so far, is it more Belichick or is it more Brady? Now, I understand it was both, but I'm asking you the question. You know what I'm asking. Belichick or Brady? Because right now, Brady's looking pretty good.
It's both, man.
Oh, come on.
You can't. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say it was Belichick or it was Brady.
Boo.
And if anything, it's more Belichick than it was Brady.
Oh, okay.
Who found Brady?
There you go.
Who found Brady?
Mm-hmm.
Who gave Brady their opportunity, their chance?
Mm-hmm.
He could have very well easily said, you know what? You're here for four games. When Bledsoe comes back, he's a starter. Thank you, son. No, he didn't do that. He stuck with him, and the rest is history. There was 31 other teams that passed on him and said, that guy can't play. Best, he's a career backup, a holder for a kicker.
Yeah. By the way, round after round after round. Key, before I let you go, because we're already out of time because of all your technical – or sorry, it was Roger's fault.
Most stuff is Roger's fault.
Yes, I've noticed. Listen, here's the one question I have for you. You know, luck is the residue of design, right? Like, the teams that seem to get lucky a lot, there's usually a reason for that. They're better prepared, whatever else, right? And the Patriots always seem to get lucky a lot. But this last season, that Patriots' luck left them. You know, two plays, goal line stand, Bobby Wagner made the play on Cam, and then Cam got stripped in the red zone against Buffalo. They could have been 9-7, they're 7-9. But then the Bucs seemed to have a lot of luck all of a sudden. And that makes me think, if luck is the residue of design, that always seemed to go to the Belichick team, but Brady took it with him. Maybe more of it was Brady than I gave credit for. What do you think of that?
No, man, look, Brady and the Buccaneers were positioned right to make a run at the Super Bowl. They made a run at it, and they won it. The Belichick stuff, we'll know a lot more about Bill Belichick this year, about retooling his team and where the Patriots are going to go. Whether Belichick wins another Super Bowl or not, he's the greatest head coach in the modern era that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Vince Lombardi, Papa Bear, all the other great coaches that have done it. But he's the greatest one I've ever seen, so that's mm-hmm. never going to change. He can go 0-16 the next 10 years, and it'll never change the way I think he is as a.
Well, Raj did it again.
Oh, and 17, better yet.
Raj is trying to mute you again, Key. For some reason, he has it out for you today. I don't know what it is. I apologize. Raj apologize to Keyshawn Johnson. What's that? See? And they won't even – Raj cut him off again. Unbelievable, Raj. Keyshawn Johnson.
I didn't do it. That was
gracious
Brendan.
Enough to come on the show, and you just completely treat him like a second class citizen, Raj. How dare you? How dare
He's
you?
One of my
you
favorites.
An apology.
I will.
Keyshawn Johnson, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. That's really too bad that he got cut off so much. I really wanted to get to dig into some football stuff with him. Among the issues, Julio Jones. His days in Atlanta are numbered, right? Are they? Where's his best destination? No doubts. Next.
No doubt.
Tomorrow's UFC 262 is sure to be a can't-miss event. Every punch, kick, and knockout means so much more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes for this weekend's fight. DraftKings is offering all customers a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the cap, salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about basketball and hockey, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs throughout the week. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code MAX for your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code MAX, M-A-X, to get shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. No doubt is next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me up. That's a new one. Check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. 49ers get a raw deal. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of these.
No doubt.
All right, Raj, what do we have for no doubt today?
Oh, you mentioned it, Max, but the 49ers, the San Francisco 49ers, will travel an NFL worst 28,000 miles over the course of the season. Max, this is a true disadvantage.
No doubt. Of course it's a disadvantage, and some team's going to be the team that travels the most. And this year it's the 49ers. Wah! You know, I mean, as long as that disadvantage is spread around more or less evenly, you know, from year to year. And by the way, you know, there are 32 teams. It could take more than a generation to spread that around, right? But this year it's the Niners who have to travel the most. Yeah, it's a disadvantage, and you got to deal with it. What else?
All right. Hey, it's National Dance Like a Chicken Day. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been to a couple of you guys' weddings, and I've seen you guys all do the chicken dance. So,
when you say you guys, Max, who are you referring to?
You know, just play on here, you know. You and Brendan. Max has done the chicken dance at a wedding.
No, I haven't done the chicken dance at a Raj? Nah, son. No. Have you done the chicken dance at a... You know what, Brendan? You know what this sounds like? This sounds like Raj covering up the fact that he just did the chicken dance at a wedding. Were you at a wedding where you had to do the chicken dance? Tell the truth, Raj.
Nah, son. Social distancing. We can't go to weddings.
Yeah, right. Social distancing. I've never seen a guy... Social distancing.
Yeah, that's where he draws the line, weddings.
By the way, yeah, right, exactly. By the way, do you, right, of course, because God forbid someone gets married, then Raj's lifestyle's all turned upside down. Listen, did you see this thing where recently it was like, actually, it turns out social distancing was not the thing. It was about masks and ventilation would have been the best course. Well, there you go.
Wow. Who knew?
I kind of enjoyed the social distancing myself, but okay. I don't have to deal with people.
All right. Hey, listen. Take a listen to our friend Dana Rossini.
They're in a space where they're willing to deal him. He's 32 years old. He's dealt with a lot of different injuries. They've got Kyle Pitts now. We know that they signed up Calvin Ridley to an extension. They're in good shape offensively. This would be a good time. But from what I was told, they're waiting for the right value. They want the right value for Julio because you know, he's still a good player, and I do think that there's a lot of teams out there that would be willing to trade for him. So he's a player we should definitely keep an eye on over the next few months and see if Atlanta moves him.
Not only that, but the Falcons left Julio Jones off their season schedule wallpaper.
Yeah, of course.
So, Max, Julio's definitely getting traded.
No doubt. He's already. No doubt. We just got to figure out where he's going, right? Of course. And listen, Julio Jones not only was the receiver from this era that you really wanted on your team, right? He was clutch. Like Odell dropped a couple passes in his one playoff game. AB doesn't, and neither did Julio Jones. Julio Jones was fast. He could catch the ball. He could be any kind of target you needed him to be. He had size that AB and Odell didn't have. And he was a great locker room guy by all accounts. No off-the-field distractions. He was the perfect receiver, right? Doesn't mean he's the best ever, but he's perfect. And at 32, do I think he could still make a difference? Hell yeah. I'd love to see him go to the Ravens. Give Lamar. Let's find out about Lamar. We'll find out all about him if you put Julio Jones on that team. I'd love to see him go to the Pats. We'll find out about not only Belichick, but Cam. I think Cam's going to start. I don't think Mac Jones is going to be able to beat out Cam for that job as a rookie. But okay, let's see him go to the Bears. Give Justin Fields a real number one to throw that ball to. A lot of teams could use Julio Jones. A lot of teams could use Julio Jones.
That's true. Gonna be fun.
All right. Does a guy who can't name a single Beastie Boy think he'll beat me in the crossover? Major League Baseball is on ESPN Radio, and we've got two games this weekend, Cardinals-Padres tomorrow night at 8 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern, of course. And then Sunday Night Baseball is Cardinals-Padres once again at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. This MLB weekend preview is brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money, progress starts here. The crossover coming up. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. About to do the crossover. Or as Raj writes, about to do the crossover? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Raj felt that he needed to punctuate crossover with a question mark. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. What you got, Raj?
All right. Let's start off with B here, since he's our defending champion, since you could have named one Billy Joel song, including the one we just came back with.
By the way, that really threw me for a loop. Like, ever since then, like, I listened to Billy Joel when I was a kid and stuff. I had a record. I have old man brain.
It's more than that. But, all right. Brendan, are you there?
Sure. What stupid questions do you have today?
Oh, this is one right up your alley. Start you off with one of your guys. Eminem. Tell me Eminem's middle name. In fact, I'll give you multiple choice, but you make it easy for you. Is it Ray? Is it Marshall? Is it Bruce? Or is it Jake? What is Eminem's middle name?
I think his
first name is Marshall, so is his middle name Bruce?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Correct. I told you this was easy. Good job.
By the way, I wouldn't have gotten that. Maybe I would have. I don't know.
For some reason, Bruce sounded familiar. I knew his name was Marshall
Eminem's
Mathers.
Middle name, you know?
What kind of question is that? Are you kidding?
That's terrible. By the way, how'd you pull that, Brendan?
I feel like I heard that before, but I mean, Jesus, what kind of question is this? Now Max, name one song that ever was had
I won't
a,
be able to do it. Don't worry about it.
Name
go ahead.
One song that had a guitar
Listen. We just talked about the chicken dance earlier. So speaking of you guys dancing around, remember the song, the movie Footloose? Remember that movie?
Yeah,
with Kevin
Footloose.
Bacon?
I never saw Footloose.
Footloose.
Never saw Footloose. Never saw Top Gun.
All right. I've never seen it either, but you knew the soundtrack. In fact, the soundtrack. Yeah, Footloose, who did the soundtrack for Footloose? And I believe maybe Top Gun, but I'm not sure. Who sang that song? He did the whole soundtrack.
I think I got it.
Raj, I really didn't
grow up with a lot of chicken dance people. I don't know what to
go
tell
ahead.
You.
Go ahead, steal it. Who did the soundtrack?
I'm pretty sure it's Kenny Loggins, right?
That's correct. Loggins. Is it still?
And how old are you, Brendan? How do you even know that?
Everybody knows that.
Yeah,
right?
I know my rock music. I don't.
Kenny Loggins. Right. Wait, which one is Kenny Loggins? Is he the one who played the flute or something?
That's Kenny G.
And then there's Kenny. Then there's Kenny Rogers. There's a Kenny Loggins. Just making up Kennys now. Loggins, Rogers. That's all that. Come on.
Yeah,
stop.
Nothing.
Kenny Loggins just making dudes up. Go ahead.
All right, Brendan. Hey, you remember Tupac, right? You know Tupac.
I got it. Yeah, Tupac. Yep.
Okay, which movie did he act in? He was in one of these movies. I'll give you multiple choice. Was it Boys in the Hood? Was it Baby Boy? Was it Blood In, Blood Out? Or was it Nothing But Trouble? Looking for a movie that Tupac...
Can you say him again?
Boys in the Hood, Baby Boy, Blood In, Blood Out, or Nothing But Trouble?
This is a complete guess, too. I'm pretty sure he wasn't in Boys in the Hood. I'm going to say whatever the last one was, Nothing But Trouble.
On fire.
By the way, I would have gotten that wrong too. I don't remember like nothing, but I don't even remember the movie Nothing But Trouble. I thought you were gonna say Juice. That I remember. Eric B and Rakim with the soundtrack. Yeah. Or at least with the title song.
You remember George Michael, right?
Yep, of course.
And all that. What band was he in? What band did he make famous and become from? What band was he?
Wham?
Wow, he got one right.
Oh,
yes,
I got it. I was ready for that one.
Yeah, look at me. All right, I'm feeling pretty good about myself.
3-1.
Okay. All right, another easy one for you, B. What rapper made this phrase popular? You ready?
Sure.
Master
P.
Yes! Oh, my goodness.
Pretty good. Brendan's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
It was.
He did it without hesitation.
Yeah. I knew and that one. That was right in my wheelhouse, middle school.
All right, last one, and we'll hit some calls. Max. What do these four people have in common? Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, Amy Winehouse, and Jimi Hendrix. What do all four of them have in
overdoses.
Common?
Overdoses.
Well, technically, Morrison had a
died
a heart
young.
Attack. And I'll tell you who else. Was it Kurt Cobain, too? Yep, Kurt
yes.
Cobain, all of them.
They died young.
That's true, too. But do you know what age?
Oh. I don't. 30-something.
27!
27 was the magic number.
I don't know. I don't belong to nerd culture. Yeah, look, hey, look at this. It said in Rolling Stone magazine that they all died at the same... Who cares?
Max, you got one right. That's all that matters. All right. So go to the calls knowing that you got an answer right. You knew George Michael came from Wham. But I am shocked that B knew Master P did.
Me too.
That is great.
I know nothing about the chicken dance. I could pop
I
and break,
right on
though.
Top of that one.
It's Kid Freeze in the Fresh Five. You don't know about that. Randy in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Big fan, man. Love the show. Do me a favor, man. When cats call in and they want to say, hey, how's it going? Or, hey, what's up? Just politely answer the question and move on to the next call because these cats are breaking up the flow, man. I love the
show. I agree with you. No, we just got to hang up on them from now on. I just don't have the board in front of me because of COVID. You know, like Raj and Brendan are doing it remotely. So if I had it in front of me, I'd just hang up. But go ahead, Randy.
All right, here's the question back to the 90s, because you're a few years older than me. I'm wondering if you can answer this question, because I don't know what the contract situation was like. After the 1998 NBA season, could it have been possible for the Knicks to make a play for Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Dennis Rodman? Because if I'm the Knicks, I basically give up everything at that time except Patrick Ewing.
Of course they should have. No. You give up anything you have to, including Ewing, if you have to. You have to have the guts to do whatever it takes. The time to get Jordan and Phil Jackson and then see what else you could attract was before the second three-peat. You know, try to grab them then so he comes back to the New York Knicks. And there was some talk about that at the time, but it, you know, never came to fruition. There's always a way. You just clear the contracts off your books. The Knicks had desirable players at the time. And you go all in if you think you could get them. The problem with the Knicks was a free agent year where they took Chris Childs, Allen Houston, who was good, and Larry Johnson, who was also good. But on the market were Tim Hardaway, Reggie Miller, and Charles Barkley, who were better. And the Knicks always got the consolation prize. All right. Well, we laughed. We cried. We did neither such thing. We laughed a little bit. See you next week. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.